Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 197 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, including a significant number in the Fairbanks area. The Department of Health and Social Services says of the 191 new resident cases, 98 were in Anchorage and 42 were in Fairbanks. Among the others confirmed Sunday were 6 apiece in Kotzebue and Utqiagvik, 5 in North Pole, and 1 each in Nome, the Northwest Arctic Borough, and the Yukon-Koyukuk Census Area. The Fairbanks North Star Borough tally of 47 was the second highest daily total the area has had, following the record 56 cases reported on October 4th. In terms of cases per 100,000 people, Fairbanks is at just over 35, second only to the Northwest Alaska region. There were also 6 new non-resident cases announced yesterday, 2 in Anchorage, 1 in Haines, and 3 others, which are under investigation. There were no new COVID-19 deaths reported, but there were 36 confirmed COVID-19 patients hospitalized in the state, plus another 16 patients who are considered under investigation for COVID. 8 patients were on ventilators. State health officials visited Fairbanks last week to strategize about how to bring the area's high COVID case numbers down. They visited medical centers as well as nursing homes and shelters that have had positive cases. Increasing community testing was a common suggestion, and as KUAC's Robin reports, a free 7-day-a-week center opened yesterday in response.
Beacon Occupational Health and Safety Services has been testing travelers at Fairbanks International Airport in a contract with the state of Alaska. Public Health Administrator Elizabeth Hawkburton says a decision to expand that contract was made after the state's chief medical officer visited Fairbanks last week and decided to push it through.
They gave them a contract to provide completely free testing at the Fairbanks Airport. We don't have to have this kind of insurance. You don't have to have tribal benefits. You don't have to have veterans benefits. It's for the community. And it's going to be available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m.
This is the level of testing Alaska's public health nurses have wanted since March. The resource questions of personnel, testing kits, laboratory turnaround time, and costs all appear to be answered. Now it's a question of coordinating with patients. At other test centers, you must call ahead, but it will be first come, first served at the airport location.
For this current arrangement, folks will drive out to the airport near the cell phone lot or overflow long-term parking. When you get there, you use your cell phone to take a picture of a QR code, and then it allows you to register in the system.
Hawkburton says people without cell phones can pull up to the trailer to get help registering. When you drive up to the testing trailer, you'll be collecting your own sample after being shown how. The Beacon staff members will label each sample and transport them to the state virology lab on the UAF campus for processing. The COVID-19 testing station at the airport opened to the community on Monday and will continue for at least 1 month. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The Fairbanks Rescue Mission has reopened to the public after making progress corralling a COVID-19 outbreak. According to the mission, the Department of Public Health says just 2 of 49 tests administered last week came back positive. It says one of the positives was an individual who was already in quarantine and has since left the facility, and that the other was immediately separated and has remained asymptomatic during isolation. Rescue Mission CEO Pete Kelly says state public health officials visited the mission last week to discuss safety protocols. He says the mission has been approved to conduct its own on-site testing and that all new guests will be tested and separated from the rest of the population until their results are known, and that all guests and staff will regularly be tested throughout the coming year. The state medical examiner's office has identified human remains found earlier this month along the Toke cutoff as those of an elderly man from Palmer who's been missing since May. An Alaska State Trooper report posted Monday says the remains found October 2nd off a trail in the Slana area near milepost 77 are those of 89-year-old Donald R. Evans. Evans was reported missing on May 27th by members of his family, who said he'd traveled to the remote cabin he owned near mile 77, intending to spend 4 days there, and that he was reported missing after being gone for 16. Troopers say the case is still under investigation and ask anyone with information about Evans to contact the Fairbanks Trooper Office. Alaskans voting by mail will not be required to have witnesses sign their ballots this year. That after the Alaska Supreme Court yesterday upheld a judge's ruling. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the Arctic Village Council and others sued to block the state requirement this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Danny Crosby ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, but the order was put on hold after the Division of Elections appealed it to the Supreme Court. Yesterday, the court affirmed Crosby's ruling after hearing oral arguments in the appeal. A full court opinion will be issued later. Nearly 11,000 absentee votes have already been received by the state. More than 110,000 have been requested by Alaskan voters. City of Fairbanks employees are getting implicit bias training this week. Former FBI agent Brett Hood, founder of 21st Century Learning and Consulting, is in town teaching city staff how to recognize these unconscious biases. In a presentation to the city council at a meeting last night, Hood gave an example of implicit bias.
On a flight, on an airplane, an individual on the plane became very, very sick. And across the loudspeaker, they ask, is there a doctor on board? A young African-American female raises her hand, and the flight attendant walks right by her. And as she walks by, she says, not right now, ma'am. I'm looking for a doctor. Mm. Now, I will argue, I don't know the details in particular, but I will argue that that flight attendant was probably not overtly racist. What happened was, in her experience, her life experience, what she saw when she thought of a doctor, she thought of a white male, white female.
Hood said stressful situations when you don't have time to analyze your thoughts and actions more readily bring out our implicit biases. According to a city release, the purpose of the training is for city employees to learn how implicit bias can impact behavior, decision-making, interpersonal communication, and investigations. The training was praised in several public communications read to the council at last night's meeting. Last Tuesday's Fairbanks North Star Borough municipal election results won't be official until 1,944 absentee ballots and 580 question ballots are counted. The count by the borough's canvassing board is scheduled for this afternoon. The election was for Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly and School Board seats, Fairbanks and North Pole City Council seats, and seats on the Interior Gas Utility Board. Most of those races are settled, but the absentee and question count could upset some close contests. In the Fairbanks City Council race for seat E, Lonnie Marnie is only 321 votes ahead of Sue Sprinkle. And in the School Board seat E race, Jeffrey Rensel trails Tim Doran by just 380 votes. The election will be certified after the final counting. Yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day, and the University of Alaska Fairbanks hosted a celebration. The theme of the online event was Resilience Through Hope and Love. Native American rights attorney Heather Kendall Miller gave the keynote address.
We must move beyond this Western paradigm and shift back to an Indigenous worldview paradigm that gives value to the natural world.
Kendall Miller reflected on the current state of chaos in the world and urged action.
Embrace the values of our ancestors to restore balance and tradition to a more just and sustainable future.
Kendall Miller also encouraged respect for science in addressing world problems like the COVID-19 pandemic and climate change and urged people to vote in the upcoming election. Alaskans voting by mail will not be required to have witnesses sign their ballots this year. That after the Alaska Supreme Court yesterday upheld a judge's ruling. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the Arctic Village Council and others sued to block the state requirement this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Danny Crosby ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, but the order was put on hold after the Division of Elections appealed it to the Supreme Court. Yesterday, the court affirmed Crosby's ruling after hearing oral arguments in the appeal. Nearly 11,000 absentee votes have already been received by the state. More than 110,000 have been requested. I'm Dan Bross.